Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Ducrosse Brothers of Sports Warriors. We are your boys. I'm Tristan Ducrosse. Along my side, as always, is my partner in crime, the one and only
Sean Ducrosse. You know, it's been a big week once again, and the storm is simply starting to brew, it seems like.
Absolutely. And for some odd reason, we're just going to start off with a little bit of mayhem, right? Once again, I'm going to say a former MMA fighter, Jason Mayhem Miller, in the headlines again, being arrested outside of a tattoo shop, where he theoretically should not have been in the first place, Sean.
Does that surprise you he's in the wrong place at the wrong time?
At this point, I don't know. But it's funny because, you know, I look at all the social medias because we're on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, we're on YouTube, you name it. Oh, that brings me to it, too. You can watch us live right now on YouTube. So be sure you can catch us on YouTube, as well as Blog Talk Radio. So, yeah, we're getting big here. But Mayhem Miller was told that he can't go within a certain feet of the tattoo shop where he was arrested the last time. Everybody on social media continues to say, this guy needs help. This guy needs help. How often can you say this guy needs help and nobody taking any kind of ownership to this guy?
Here's the thing. Mayhem Miller, whether he wants or not, Tristan, is in desperate need of help. He always cry out for help. He's crying for help whether he wants to admit it or not. The bottom line is that the guy's in trouble. Whether he has CTE or not, or he's just an alcoholic, whatever it may be, the guy needs help.
Somebody needs to help this guy. And, Shawna, you just talked about CTE, which is the chronic brain injury that a lot of these athletes have suffered over the years. And it has taken away some of our heroes because of that injury. Now it's come out that the NFL has said that here it is. Yes, CTE is a real thing. CTE is one of the things that too many blows to the head causes. But they even said that it's not just in our sport. It's not just in football. No. There's so many sports that you put your head through so much. That, my friend, is when you're looking at the NFL, whether you're looking at the NHL, whether you're looking at MMA, boxing, it doesn't matter. The fact is CTE is a real thing. And Mayhem Miller is going to eventually die. Let's just call it what it is. He is eventually going to pass, and we're going to find out if he has CTE. But they put his bail at $1 million because they feel that he's a threat not just to himself, but to everybody else. And if we're to that point that we are afraid of Jason Mayhem Miller, why are we continuing to just pass away or pass judgment on this guy and not get him the help? Words are so hollow nowadays that we need to get help. Anything apparently. If Jason or anybody can get this memo to Mayhem Miller, dude, we're here. We'll help you as much as we can. Support you as much as we can. Because in reality, that's what you need. You need a support system.
And it's so vital nowadays that you can't not have somebody there to support you. And when you look at everything that's going on and you think about it, is one thing that has always been said, Tristan, with these celebrities, you need to have some celebrities in these day and age consist of, yes, people. They all want that money and everything else that comes with the fame and the glory. They don't want to be the ones to tell the individual, no. They just want to be, but we're here to help you out. spend money, right? That's the way this should be. Matt Miller needs somebody in his camp that's going to tell him, hold up, wait a minute. Let's retract, let's get back on the game plan, let's figure this out. He's not about it right now. And it's a shame because, like you said, he's going to do that. And not to say that it's going to be now, next year, or whenever. But the bottom line is that whenever, because he's going down such a dangerous path that if he doesn't fix it now, and he makes it down in the history books as one of the sad cases of CTE or whatever it may be that's causing him to go off the deep end, or alcoholism, whatever it is, whatever he's doing, it's sad for
everybody knows his.
They grew up watching Billy Bean, for crying out loud. They watched him in Japan. So everybody knows who this guy is, and it's hard to sit back and watch him on all these interviews, watch him slow words, and everything else about it. It's very hard to watch. And to hear that people, that we may not know, we may be wrong on this, but he's crying out for help. Somebody stand up and help out the guy. Maybe this is where the MMA fighters comes into play if they had one. You know, something that in my mind is the fact that wrestling entertainment, WWE, they have their own drug rehab program.
Yeah.
That's what they have. But they don't have a union or anything like that. But as a company, as a whole, granted, Mayhem Miller doesn't have a home currently, but WWE does make sure that the fighters that did at one point, the wrestlers at one point fight underneath their umbrella, still takes them in, puts them in their rehab program, their wellness program, and takes care of them. So why couldn't a UFC do this? Why couldn't a Bellator MMA do this? You see fighters get into this whole entire mindset where they have to continue to fight because they don't have the means. Well, as an organization, shouldn't you take better care of the fighters? And that's where a lot of the fighter unions comes into play. And why there needs to be a fighters union one way or another is because of the well-being for the athlete. See, you said it, Sean, the athlete. The athlete is what we're missing right now. Nobody talks about these fighters as an athlete. Or they're just like a case of meat, basically. You know, you're being thrown out there to the wolves, and you're saying, put on a good show for the fans. But if they put on a show for you, the fans, then why not should the fighter or the fighters be taken care of? How is that right? Everybody at one point loved Jason Mayhem Miller. Now nobody loves the guy, right? Magically they disappear and said, you know what? You're on your own, dude. All right, because he's a little crazy, runs around a church naked, goes and gets in fights,
goes a little cray-cray,
and now we're just so quickly to pass judgment and disown him.
And that's the thing. That's a shame. Because we shouldn't pass a judgment on an individual that is crying out for help. I mean, you can't say that any better than that. He's crying
Sean,
for help.
We lost one celebrity in Robin Williams due to depression.
Nobody stepped up to try to help him.
He sent out tweets, two of them, that were prior to his death, that he was crying out for help. And nobody was there to help him. Nobody was there to kind of cradle him and say that it's going to be okay. We can get you help. Nobody did. As a society, we're so quick to push away people, then bring them back closer to us. And I think that with Mayhem Miller, we need to start bringing him back closer to us. Regardless if you approve of his actions or you don't approve of his actions, it might not be himself doing this, Sean. Correct. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking that about numerous of conversations we've had with Chris Cope, I can't help but think what Chris Cope would have to say about this, about watching Mayhem Miller and watching his actions and over the course of the last couple months. It'd be interesting to hear what he has to say just because of the fact that he's been so outspoken about fighters' unions and the health and the well-being of fighters. Well, here's one. You've heard about Brandon Vera. You've heard about Nate Quarry. You've heard about those guys all starting a fighters' union. When was the last time you heard that had legs? You've heard Jamie Varner mention fighters' union.
Frank Shamrock.
When was the last time you heard them speak? Some point you need to put pen to paper. Some point you need to start protecting yourselves and thinking this as a business.
Because the
organizations think it's a business. Exactly. UFC views this as a business. So if they view this as a business,
why shouldn't the fighters? And I can guarantee you, like you said a few minutes ago, Sean, is that if you had a fighters union, the doors could be open and receptive to getting Mayhem Miller the help that he so rightfully needs. But we need to get to that point. We need to stop thinking that at some point, man, that God, you look at him and you just think about all the negativity and all the issues and the possibility that he's not going to be around, and yet we're so quick to say, hey, basically it is what it is. Let's wash our hands of it. People are passing judgment on Donald Trump and what he's doing in the political race.
Oh, let's not even get touched on that one.
Right, I'm just saying. But that's the society that we're in, Sean. We have to change the culture. We have to change the way that our minds think, the ways that we hold people accountable for their actions. We have to be there to support them. Marriage, a support system. Friends, a support system. Family, a support system. But yet I don't hear one person, Sean, standing up for Mayhem Miller, except people posting on social media about getting him help. Stop talking, take action, be proactive, and we'll see something about it.
Maybe it's something that at the end of the show, the Sports Warriors can get with our boys from Fightbook to try to figure out if it's even possible to get Mayhem Miller help. Now, he may definitely say, hell no. But at least we're putting it out there.
Right.
At least we're being proactive and not sitting on the back burner to try to...
We're not reacting. We're being proactive. More people need to be proactive instead of reactive. So, it's interesting to see where this is going, Sean. But then, over the weekend, us, the DuCross Brothers Sports Warriors, got a chance to be part of something special. And that was, we got to be with Dan Henderson, the living legend, at True Form Entertainment, Team Empire versus Team Quest. Are you kidding me? We are the Sports Warriors right here on Blog Talk Radio. And on YouTube. Yes, we are live on YouTube.
Boom.
Mic drop. Well, I have a mic, but I wasn't going to toss it. Anyway, Sean and Tristan DuCross, the Sports Warriors, will be right back. True Form Entertainment, Team Empire versus Team Quest. History was made. Be right back.
Excelsior and Paris Rex. Live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and Fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the Ducross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the Ducross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
All right, everybody, we are back. You're listening live right now to the Ducross Brothers, where we are the Sports Warriors, True Form Entertainment, Team Empire versus Team Quest out here in Temecula, California. Tore the roof off the place at Dan Henderson's gym. Sean and Tristan Ducross, we were there on scene. We videotaped the whole entire event with all the fights, from Here Dudes to John and Josh Kim. You can check out on our YouTube page, the Hotspot Show, and you can see all the footage that we take. But in the process of doing that, we are also live right now, the Sports Warriors live stream on YouTube. Sean, from this event, we've been to a lot of events, right? Yeah. Covering amateurs from L.A. to San Diego to our own backyard. We kept telling people that amateur MMA grassroots is where people need to start kind of taking ownership. Because you have amateur events in L.A., San Diego, maybe even now more so in our backyard. What I loved about this was that Josh Griggs and company spoke with Dan Henderson, the living legend, and they put something together that was such awe-inspiring. And I say that because Dan Henderson has been a focal point in trying to grow the amateur scene because he believes in grassroots. We believe in grassroots, that these kids are where ultimately the foundation starts for mixed martial arts, no doubt. And when you're trying to figure out, and like something behind us shows on your right side,
is that support your local MMA. And in order to do that, you have to start from somewhere scratch. You can't be afraid of the highs and the lows that come with an MMA promotion. Well, True Form Entertainment, you've heard it from us time and time again. With Josh Griggs and company, they understand how to put on a fight card with amateurs, with the pros. They do it all. They have figured it out. The fans seem to have been caught on. I was worried. So was I. That when you said, oh man, this one's going to be at Dan Henderson's Athletic Center in Temecula, California. This could be bad. I arrived for weigh-ins. It was the cleanest setup I've ever been at. It was the nicest turnout I've ever been at. Bottom line was that people in Temecula, California showed up for True Form Entertainment. Dude, standing room only. That's what it turned out to be, Sean. They were packed from the floor to the rafters at Dan Henderson's gym. Nobody was out of control, no fans, except for Julio Aguilera, but we'll get to him in a minute. True Form Entertainment continues to take what they have learned and continue to build on where they need to go. The fact that when you come into a True Form Entertainment environment, you feel exactly as part of a family. And you see that in the way that the fighters go out there and they perform for the audience. You had Josh Kim, John Kim on this card. Here Dudes,
from Tahiti on this card. And he faced Chris Alvarez. And I looked at this fight, and they moved it to the co-main event.
The Kims were not facing Chris Alvarez?
No, I said Here Dudes did.
Oh, yeah.
Here Dudes faced Chris Alvarez in the co-main event. Great fight. Probably could have been probably one of the fight of the night. Now, depending on who you talk to, there was a stoppage in the fight due to an illegal knee. But you see Here Dudes, one of the most respected fighters as a kid that steps inside the cage. Because the minute he hit the illegal knee, he knew. And he was immediately apologetic to it.
You know, I thought it was a clean knee.
Chris Alvarez would say otherwise.
I get that. But when you get tagged like he did, you do the same thing. So you've got to look at it. And Here Dudes is a unique guy in my book.
Oh, no question.
He's got the physique that you look for in a fighter, but he doesn't have the talking ability yet. And I say yet because this time that I spoke to him, you clearly saw he's learning the language still. He's starting to become a little bit more comfortable. But he's one of the most humble amateur fighters I've gotten to meet. He's a true rarity in this field, among with other people, too, that we've met.
Don't you find it weird when you see and you talk to all these kids and all these fighters that there's only like a handful, maybe two, that come off very humble, respectful of the sport, respectful of the people that are showcasing their talent. Here Dudes has this weird, I don't want to say identity crisis, because I've even spoken to him, because doesn't he kind of remind you, because I've heard it all about him in Tahiti. He's opened up his new gym. He's only a kid and he has his own gym in Tahiti.
And that goes to show you just how important it is for things like these to happen in places like Tahiti.
Right.
I mean, it's great to know that in the Philippines, you have the ONE FC, you have gyms, you got gyms in Thailand.
That's what you see. That's where I was going, Sean. I called Here Dudes. I called him the Mark Munoz of Tahiti.
That's a good call.
Or the Manny Pacquiao of Tahiti.
Or exactly.
At just the mere age of being in his 20s and what he's been able to do for MMA already at a young age in Tahiti says it all.
Yeah, and to know that he's got that good of a head on his shoulders already, it goes to show a lot of maturity. And Here Dudes eventually wants to bring his own team from Tahiti to stateside. That'd be great because he's learning so much from Charles Martinez and the crew of Team Arena. So for him to think about bringing his own team, the sky's the limit for him. And in this fight, he was one of the standouts. In a co-main event that could have had, in an event that could have had so many different co-main events, it could have had John Kim as the co-main event to go with his brother Josh Kim. You also had an evolution. We'll talk about everything else in a minute. But we talk about evolution. And to be at the top of the game or to get where you want to be, you can't be afraid to evolve. If you're afraid to evolve, then you're going to fail. That's my line. That's my line I've been using for the last year and a half. If it's not that one, it's stand and bang. But you get the point. And it seems like Alberto Romo, who knows who we are and apparently listens to our show or has in the past, even mentioned that to me after the fight about him evolving. And that's the maturity level that you like to see in fighters. Alberto Romo, we've seen him fight numerous of times now for Epic Fighting, Archangel MMA. We've seen him fight across the board. But this fight was something so different and so unique that he did multiple things good. And that was, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and strike with this guy. And the guy he fought was Mason Jacob Ellis from Team Quest. In this fight, I wish that they didn't fight with shin guards.
Right? Because of the kicks?
Because of the kicks. And the fact that he had an arm bar, an arm triangle, you name it, he had it all, but he couldn't get his leg behind his knee for the arm triangle because the shin guards were in the way.
And we were talking about that because Alberto Romo, when he had the triangle, and what was I yelling? I was yelling,
say that Alberto Romo, if he could just got his leg over his ankle, it would have been over. That triangle would have been deep. But for Alberto Romo to come out and, in what we classified as probably the fight of the night, where both Kibbs had a fight for the knockout of the night, but what does this say for the generation of MMA fighters that being one-dimensional can only get you so far? Because being a straight-up wrestler, okay, no problem. Go into Division 1A. Wrestle. You learn how to wrestle from the man, Dan Henderson. But if you don't have any other skill set, what is the purpose of you being in mixed martial arts? Somebody, go ahead, tell me. Oh, wait. No? Okay, see? Nothing. Alberto Romo continues to showcase, and it's funny because we were all sitting there at the end of the night and we were talking to Alberto Romo about his vast improvement. We weren't the only ones that noticed his improvement. One of our guys, Harvey Cass, that was with us, even admitted it too. We're like, dang, dude, this guy went from 0 to 100 real quick. See how I threw out that Drake pun right there? I was on point with that one. There's so many kids that take this fight game seriously. There's some kids that just don't. Two kids that do take this very, very seriously. And one thing I want to touch on, because, dude, it's pretty much just like you and I, right? You know where I'm going with this. You know exactly. I know exactly where you're going with this. And it comes down to Josh and John Kemp.
Absolutely. They are identical twins. As you can see,
so are we. And it's weird. Because I've said this story to numerous of people now in the last 3 days or so since the fight happened, which was that I've not met a lot of twins in my time.
Especially identical. A lot of fraternals.
Yes.
But never really identical.
So you can't really compare yourselves to fraternal twins.
No, and that's what I tell everybody. Well, twins are twins. Hell no, they're not. If you're identical twins, then you understand. If you're fraternal twins, you ain't got nothing to talk about because we are a different breed. Trust me on that one.
And that we are. And I got to see firsthand that I'm not the only one that thinks we're a little insane. And I say that because, so, if you know Tristan and I in person, I talk more than he talks. I have more stuff to say, and I say it a little bit better than he does because he's a little bit more straight to the point, a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more brash. And then you look at John and Josh Kemp, and you look at the outcome of the fight. Now, let me see if I get this right. John Kemp fought Ramy Barra.
Yes.
Barrera. At the end of that fight, it was John Kemp that was the one that was outspoken about amateur fighters not wanting to fight them. Them meaning him and his brother. Prior to that, I spoke to Josh, and Josh spoke to me. His brother John was quiet with a hoodie up over his head, not saying much. So when that situation happened, I was like, whoa, wait a second. That's something completely different. But it goes to show that identical twins have the same exact personalities through across the board. It doesn't matter if you are brother, sister, or whatever you may be.
The identical twin situation that we are referring to is the fact that, yes, you have one quiet one. Yes, you have one. Yes, you have one that's a little bit more outspoken. But there's a common denominator in the one that is a little bit more soft-spoken. Myself, I'm a brash guy. I'm straightforward. I'm going to tell you exactly how it is. And I think before I react. And here you had the same instance inside the cage that Josh Kim knocks out Ramy Barra in a minute five, gets on the mic, and just lets the world know that he doesn't give an F about you, who you are. He wants a damn title shot, and he wants you guys to understand that he's here and that stop being afraid to face him just because he might be better than you. Lace up your boots, your board shorts, whatever you want to lace up. Step inside that cage. Put a pair on. Showcase your talent, because eventually, dude, this is where you want to be. Then you have to fight regardless. And Josh Kim beating up. The guy, John Kim just going all out and letting the world know, standing on top of the cage, getting the Temecula boys riled up at Team Quest. That right there in itself, in my opinion, made a star.
Absolutely. And it's going to be at this point that John and Josh Kim, if you haven't seen the video, if you haven't checked out our Facebook, the DeCross Brothers, if you haven't seen the video or haven't been to our YouTube, the Sports Warriors, you're missing out. You need to get over there and look at the video on Josh and John Kim. They dismantled their opponents in T-minus 2 seconds.
You know what was funny? Because, so, John Kim knocked out Ramy Barra in a minute five. We're with our boy Harvey Castellano. He's sitting right next to us, and I stand up. We got a crowd right behind us. And the guys are sitting right next to us, and I was like, I looked over at Sean, and I was like, dude, how quick do you think this is going to end? Sean looked at me like, really, are we going to do this? I was like, hell yeah, we're going to do this. Harvey Cass pulls out his phone and goes, hold up, wait a minute, I want to tape this. The guys right behind us are like, what's going on? What are they doing? And I'm like, Sean, call it. Let's do this. Because we already called the knockout by John Kim. I called the knockout in 38 seconds, something like that, somewhere around there.
I think it was 32.
32 seconds. Sean said what? What did you say?
51? 51? 51, I think.
51 seconds or something like that. And the fight ended in 41 seconds. The walkout was longer for Josh Kim than it was the fight.
But, dude,
and the guys right next to us, dude, one guy had his phone on a timer. Like, and then he goes, dude, you guys almost got it. Like, are you kidding me?
It was one of those rarity moments that you have at events. And
I want your business card.
And it's a rarity that you see such athleticism and such timing and precision that an amateur is not taught too often. And these two brothers have it. People are going to be fighting to have them on their cards, plain and simple. I was asked that when I brought these two and approached them to True Form Entertainment, I was asked, well, what about these guys? When it was approached to me about Jacob Unger versus Josh Kim. Jacob Unger, coming into the fight, was 4-1, has had pretty good fights because he fought for U of MMA. You look across the bow and you look at Josh Kim. Josh Kim was 1-0 from International Self-Defense MMA. Something that in the back of your head, if you didn't know International Self-Defense, you would think it would be Krav Maga. But you look back and you say, well, why is this fight even worth watching? And I look back and say, well, just watching one fight of the Kims, I diagnosed that they had the it factor. They don't back down. So you throw a guy in front of them that had five fights coming in, go ahead, bring them. That's the type of mentality these twins have. They bring everything and bring it full tilt. This was the first time that they lasted as long as they did. Well, John lasted longer. About 40 seconds is about as long as Josh Kim's fight has actually lasted, because he has had one fight, and I think his first fight ended in 30 seconds. But as twins, we are that competitive. Both Kims expect to be better than the other. And that's the thing that's going to drive you and push you to be better. Everybody in San Diego is going to want to get a hold of these two kids. Don't be surprised if Combat is America or World Series of Fighting or Gladiator Challenge or King of the Cage. I mean, you want me to keep going? Are going to start trying to get a hold of these
because
kids.
Because once the video gets out on these kids, everybody's going to want to fight. And that's what happened. When you've got John Kim that came out and said, hold up, bump your brakes.
You had Julio Aguilera, who fought prior, and said, you know what, I'll fight Josh. I'll fight him at 145. Not John, but Josh, because of the weight class.
Right.
He will fight any of the Kims. So that was cool. You go across to Facebook. One of the Nether premier amateur fighters in Southern California, Joseph Williams, steps up to the plate and says, I'll take on a Kim. It's getting around of how good these two are, and people are going to step up that want to continue to make a name for themselves.
Dude, but it's not even just about that, because you look at Joseph Williams, dude, he's one of the pinnacle people right now in amateur MMA out here in SoCal. And he wants a Kim.
Yeah.
It's telling you that much that the credibility after two fights of these twins, the Kims, continues to grow. And more people continue to talk about them, the more and more people want to face them. But only if you're on the same level.
And if you're better than them, they'll go ahead and step up too. And that's where I came to prove your worth, my standouts of the night. Because I was like, well, who do you give fight of the night to? Because it goes to either Kim or just split it right down the middle and says it is what it is.
I would say split the knockout of the night between the two.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. And then the fight of the night goes to who?
I would say Roberto Romo.
I can kind of see that.
Because Alberto Romo, I mean, that, for all his fights that we have seen, to see him grow the way he did, Alberto Romo hands down. But, I mean, it could also go to Here Dudes for his performance.
Yeah.
But, like I told Alex Trinidad, I was like, dude, we got to teach Here Dudes some knockout power.
I thought he had Chris Alvarez knocked out twice, maybe even submitted once, and somehow he can't finish the fight. We get another unanimous decision.
Right. But I said on last week's show, Sean, that Here Dudes needed to string along two wins. Sean, needed to finally string wins together. And here you go. Granted, it's another unanimous decision. It was still nice to see that he gets it. And he got back-to-back wins now. He needed back-to-back wins. But Team Quest had the home field advantage and
took it away. And Team Empire came right in and ran right through them, going 9-1. But the ninth win could be a little bit misleading, because the ninth win for Team Empire was actually by a guy that was listed from Team Quest in Joshua Ream. And that was another guy. Joshua Ream. My goodness, did that guy have slick jiu-jitsu. The ability to switch from an arm bar to an arm triangle, switch it back underneath, is like, oh my goodness. Rear naked choke, I think he had at one point. The guy was a revolving door on the ground of transitions and just simply dismantled his guy on the ground and got up and was like, yeah.
But this won't be the last time that they'll be at Dan Henderson's gym, because Dan Henderson loved the turnout, loved the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Has an octagon, has a cage right there inside of his gym. to see that it be sold out. Tickets were $45 and they sold out right in a gym. I mean, crazy.
But that's the show, again, for the 5,000th time. It's because True Form is starting to gain traction.
People want to fight for them.
And especially in the city of Temecula where there's not a lot going on, you bring a fight to Temecula?
That place is going to go crazy for it.
You're going to get people. I mean, for crying out loud, Bellator sells out. Lion Fight sells out. Why can't an amateur slash pro? Can you imagine what they would do in Temecula if they brought pros here as well?
Oh, you kidding me?
Because it's been so far and few in between since Bellator was here at Pechanga.
Because they're waiting for the new Pechanga hall, ballroom to be finished.
But you bring over pros too?
Just saying. Right. Sky's the limit for True Form Entertainment, especially out here, especially with the Dan Henderson's gym and Dan Henderson being 100% behind it. Crazy. But Sean, we are the new Cross Brothers Sports Warriors right here on YouTube, live stream, and Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on both platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Sean and Tristan Ducross. You can find us with our fan page, Ducross Brothers. Hit us up on Twitter, at the Ducross Bros. We got World Series of Fighting, UFC Fight Night 85, and the, now all of a sudden, the free agent frenzy in mixed martial arts. More with your brothers, the Sports Warriors, Sean and Tristan Ducross. Be right back.
Roberto from Fightbook MMA, you're on with the Ducross Brothers Sports Warriors with Sean and Tristan Ducross.
Excelsior, in Paris Rex, live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the Ducross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the Ducross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
All right, everybody, we are back. You're listening live right now to the Ducross Brothers. Real opinions, real talk, combat sports talk the way that it should be. With your boys, the Ducross Brothers, the Sports Warriors, I'm Tristan Ducross. Along my side, as always, is my partner in crime, the one and only.
Sean Ducross, dude, somebody needs to get us just on TV.
Right.
Because look how amazing we look as twins, you know?
The one and only. Sean. World Series of Fighting 29 all of a sudden got hit with news that their world champion, their lightweight world champion, was suspended indefinitely for doing a backflip off the cage. That, my friend, was Justin Gaethje. But, oh, wait a minute. Pause real quick. No, we were just joking. We'll resend that. How do you, from Colorado, the Colorado Athletic Commission, whatever you want to call them, the Boxing Commission, goes out of their way, tells Justin Gaethje, hey, dude, don't do a backflip off the cage. He does a backflip off the cage. They slap him with a suspension. And definitely, then they say, oh, my bad, it was just supposed to be a warning. How do you do that? How do you make that judgment call? You, as the Colorado Boxing Commission, should understand that if it was just going to be a warning, shouldn't you have just slapped them with a suspension for maybe like a day or two or three? You know, just say, oops, my bad. But not suspend them indefinitely and then pull it back. Oh, we just wanted to teach them a lesson. So you guys are allowed to teach fighters a lesson. commission. Don't get me wrong. Love you guys.
We need you. We need you to sanction stuff like this.
But please,
pull it back a little bit. Take your egos out of it.
Because he didn't listen to you. Oops. Okay.
My bagel.
That doesn't stop you from anything. But Justin Gaethje, what a performance against the number one undisputed contender for his title. And it lasted seconds.
And simply because he destroyed the knee of Brian Foster. When he, and you and I were talking about it. Again, off camera. Was that there's something unique about the way that Justin Gaethje strikes. And Justin Gaethje said it at the end, was that we don't train my kicks, we don't do any of that, but what we do do is that they let me kick how I want to kick. Well, I told you, what he does successfully is that he comes in, his hands up, his chin tucked,
and he walks right
into the lion's den. And when he walks into the lion's den, he's about this close where he could just turn and cork. And when you do that, and if you're aiming at that knee, it's like chopping down wood. I mean, you could go back to the days of watching Jean-Claude Van Damme striking bamboo in Kickboxer. It's along the same levels of how he kicks. You kick with the shin, not with the ankle. When you kick with the shin and you kick in the area that's correctly placed, you're going to do damage. He ultimately did damage to the knee of Brian Foster.
Got
to
learn how to roll over that shin onto the leg. And we've always said it, is that if something is working and has always worked, don't change the technique. Don't make an adjustment. Allow him to be what he is. Work on the stuff that you need to work on. And that's what they do with Justin Gaethje. That's why he is pound for pound one of the best lightweights out there. And to think about it, Sean, this moves him into the 9th ranked in the world in the lightweight division of MMA. 9th.
When you're 16-0, 15 via TKO, meaning due to technical knockout, not knockout, technical knockout, because of the fact that he has kicked you or knocked your head off. That's something else. You want to know how much of a beast Justin Gaethje is, okay? Here's some stats for you. Justin Gaethje has held the title since World Series of Fighting 8, right? 788 what? Days as a world champion. Has defended it 4 times. Stopped Luis Palomino twice. Now he stopped Brian Foster. Has beat Nick Newell. Who's left? He wanted to know who was next. He kept saying, who's next? Then he makes his own shot.
Right? Calls it.
Justin High.
He claims that this guy has continued to be outspoken. And
he's a smart mouth.
Smart mouth. But yet, we could not find anything anywhere about this guy. Taking it to Twitter, taking it to social media. Nowhere. So then it became prominent that this guy was having an issue. It's personal.
And I think this has been ongoing
between Justin High and Justin Gaethje behind the scenes, personally, between the two.
And I guess it's personal because of the fact that Jason High has done it all. And he's been around the block. He's been in UFC. He's been in Strikeforce. He's been in Titan FC. Jason High is a big bruising guy. He finishes fights too. He comes with the best of them. He won in his first bout at World Series of Fighting 25. Jason High is 19-5. The guy's no pushover. But then again, when you look at across the bout and trying to look at who's left, there's nobody left. There is absolutely nobody left. So how about this? Okay? His 5th title defense is going to be his last and final fight with World Series of Fighting. Why? Because this will be, in fact, his final fight on his contract.
And so then once again, where do we go? Free agency.
And you're looking at everything that's coming up. Free agency is key here. Can you think about World Series of Fighting, though, Sean? Losing Justin Gaethje, who's their lightweight champion? Losing Marlon Morales, their bantamweight champion? All ultimately in one night, they can lose two champions due to free agency.
Yeah, and you're looking at it and saying, well, can World Series of Fighting compete?
I don't see how they can compete when you've got Bellator or even UFC. And if you're wondering about who Justin Gaethje can fight, and Jason High is the last one, you're starting to look at options. Bellator, UFC. You look at Bellator's lightweight division.
Oh, don't even get me started talking about that.
Just some fights that piqued my interest. Michael Chandler, Patricky Pitbull, Will Brooks, Syed Awad, Josh Thompson. You go across the bow. You look at UFC, RDA, Anthony Pettis, Nate Diaz, Tony Ferguson are all appealing to a free agent. It's like you look at, but you just had Benson Henderson jump over to Bellator. He's a 155, 170 guy.
Yeah.
So if he drops back down to 155,
oh, you had that guy in the lightweight division.
So when you look at it, it's the same approach that you look for when you're dealing with the NFL free agency, the NHL free agency, is you look for placement. You look for options. You look for people that will probably benefit
where
you.
Where can you be a starter at? Not just money. Do you want to be a starter?
Do you want to be a champion in this case?
Do you want to be a superstar? Where do you go?
Do you want to be a rock superstar? Live long?
Sorry.
Focus.
Where do you go from here? Rory McDonald comes out and says that
he tests his free agency coming up, and he will test free agency, is that here's the thing that boggles my mind. Rory McDonald is going to be a free agent after his next fight for the number one contender spot against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. So if he beats Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, he leaves for Bellator? He wants to get paid.
Because check this out. How stupid are the... you want to see how stupid the negotiators were with the UFC about this, Sean? Was that... So they were talking about a long-term deal, okay? He was offered to fight Lombard. Hector Lombard?
Yeah.
He was offered to fight him in London for $56,000. He said, absolutely, let's do it. Come close to round fight and stuff like that. UFC shows up at his camp and says, hey, have you started sparring yet? He said, no, I haven't. Okay, we're going to postpone the fight. We're going to push it to London. Okay, so you're going to pay? I mean, we're going to push it to Australia. He said, okay, so you're going to pay me more, right? Because for $56,000, I'm definitely going to London. For $56,000 going to Australia? Nah. I'm good. You got to pay me a heck of a lot more to go Australia. And that's where the multi-year deal, the multi-year contract fell apart, was because he believed that he wasn't getting the respect that he was rightfully deserved. Didn't get the respect that he felt like he was owed. So he said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to sign a contract. Who do you want me to fight? Wonderboy Thompson. All right, cool. That'll be my last fight. After that, I want to stay with the UFC, but now the money has to make it right. Okay, here we are. Rory McDonald, one fight left. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Does he go to free agency, push it by the wayside, and join Matt Matrone, who just signed with Bellator?
Another one left.
Right?
Another one
left.
The storm's coming. It's brewing. It's like watching the tide change in the sky, and you watch it go from sunny skies to dark cloud. That's what it's looking right now for the UFC. It went from being all sunshine and rainbows to a dark, glooming cloud luring over UFC right now.
The whole entire thing that we've heard years in sports entertainment is Black Monday. Ultimately, we will see a Black Monday in MMA because free agency, the word free agent, The word free agency is now synonymous with now mixed martial arts. It's going to become more prominent as more of these fighters start being more outspoken about their contract situation.
And especially if we ever see a
fighters union. But again, you look at the free agency label now, Sean. It's coming. It is sort of developing right now. It's kind of like a slow-cooked stew, and it's just kind of brewing right there. We're seeing it. We're seeing the momentum now coming. And that's where we're at right now in free agency. It's coming. And nobody can stop it. Nobody can.
No, you can only hope to contain it as much as you can, survive the storm, and then at the end of the day, keep some of your people. But that Reebok deal was the end-all of end-all.
Scott Coker, we're going to make Matt Mitrione take off his shoes for an interview. I can't
Boom,
believe
it. Boom! Slam! Boom! Drop the mic again.
Mic drop. But that's where we're at. Then we go and we look at UFC Fight Night 85. And really, the only fight that they have on that card is Frank Mir.
Frank Mir versus Mark Hunt. And it was just like,
who's getting knocked out in 41 seconds?
Right? Pick your poison. Somebody's going to eat leather. But that's the type of cards you're risking getting involved with the looming free agency. Is having a headliner and then meh, guys below it. Not to take anything away from Neil Magny. Neil Magny, Hector Lombard, that's a good story just because Hector Lombard is coming back after a year suspension on steroids. Neil Magny called him out for steroids. This is going to be a good fight, but is it worthy of being a pay-per-view? No. It's a free TV fight, and that's exactly what it is. Will the free pay-per-view, will the free ratings beat anything Bellator has put on? Absolutely not. But time will tell of what type of cards the future of UFCs is going to look like and how they're going to put all their money at the end of it. But is it just kind of funny talking about what's left of the UFC, because this is UFC Fight Night 85. This is what's left for their headlines. We're talking about free agency, about the shakeup that's coming, and reality, and really, the only really noteworthy thing is that's what we're talking about Ultimate Fighting Championship, and in the process, we got Ronda Rousey saying, I can eat again, and that's the storyline for UFC, right? Okay, Conor McGregor puts out a video about his comeback trail. That's newsworthy for UFC. When you've got Ronda Rousey saying that I can eat an apple finally and making it a big headline, you know you're in trouble.
Your headliners are making news on apples.
The only one that was really, really newsworthy was the video you posted on our Facebook.
Conor McGregor.
Was Conor McGregor.
Dude, tell me how amazing that was.
I was not a Conor McGregor fan.
You are now.
You are. And like I was talking to my wife about it, was that Conor McGregor, the one thing I've always liked about him, though, why I did not like him at the same time, was you love to hate the guy. I loved the guy because he was humble in defeat. He was humble when he won. Maybe it took a beating like he suffered at the hands of Nate Diaz to be humbled in person. Maybe he'll still have his antics. Maybe it won't be as out there and aggressive as
See,
it was.
Sean, I was even talking to one of our boys on Facebook. If you look at Sean and Tristan Ducross, or just look at my Facebook, Tristan Ducross, is that I was talking to one of our boys named Nick, and I was talking to him because I posted that video. And your wife loved that video. And he said, I love you guys, but I don't like Conor McGregor. And I was like, look. Let me ask you two questions. Did you not watch his fight? Yes, you did. Did you not follow him around like a puppy dog during the media blitz? Yes, you did. Did you not hang on to every single word so you can hate the guy? Yes, you did. So Conor McGregor did what he needed to do to sell a fight. Name a person right now in the UFC that sells fights. Name one. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Ronda Rousey. You said name one.
Conor?
No, but close. I mean, they brought in Omar one million.
That's debatable. You ruined the whole entire thing.
You set it up. I just knocked it out of the ballpark. I went Babe Ruth on that one. Watch it go over and never landing again.
But there's nobody in the UFC that is willing to sell a car. Bellator does it better than them in situations of selling a car because they put their stuff on TV. You know, they have their Unrivaled or their Unleashed or whatever it's called on Spike TV to showcase this is why these two fighters hate each other. That's how you sell something. There is no makeup whatsoever to build. Oh, they're going to build up the whole entire Bones Jones versus DC again. Give them a cupcake. Go ahead. Show the YouTube video of him dancing in about cupcakes, right?
Next thing you know, you're going to watch him do a hula maybe. I don't know.
That's where we're at, Sean.
But Rashad Evans, speak about DC. Rashad Evans came out today and said that if DC does not beat Bone Jones, he needs to retire. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. Because I think Rashad Evans should retire. I think Vitor Belfort should retire. I think there's a lot more people that should retire before DC.
I agree. And I'll go one step further. Is that if we can see Ronda Rousey versus Miesha Tate 4,
Miesha Tate needs to retire.
Then DC, we can see DC and Bones Jones 3. So, it's an interesting debate. It's an interesting thing that's going to happen coming up on April 23rd to watch what's going to happen between those two.
Right. But, Sean, this is the Sports Warriors TV live stream on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube. Can't believe it. We're on YouTube. We're the new Cross Brothers, the Sports Warriors. Wednesdays, right here on YouTube. As well as Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at the New Cross Bros. Follow us and subscribe to us on YouTube at the Sports Warriors. You can also find us on Facebook, Sean and Tristan New Cross, or just New Cross Brothers. You'll be able to find us. Until next time, we're the Warriors. We're out.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.